Well, awesome. How are you guys doing? Have you guys been enjoying the cold? Anybody have frozen water pipes? I do. I have no water at my house. It's okay. Anybody enjoying the cold, especially while you're fasting? You guys get lower body temperature when you're fasting? Am I the only one that needs 3 sweatshirts right now and the cold? Well, I'm excited for this morning. How many of you were here last week? If you were not here last week, raise your hand. Okay, we got a few of you. So last week and this week is a little bit different than a normal message, normal service type. We're on a 21-day fast, and as a church, we're fasting and praying. And so in the scriptures, fasting always is really connected to humbling ourselves before God and interceding and praying and repenting and just dealing with root issues of sin and wickedness in the earth, both for ourselves, but also for other people. That's what intercession is. And so we see an example with Daniel. How many of you know who the prophet Daniel is, right? Amazing prophet, amazing book of the Bible. So much prophetic imagery in Daniel, specifically speaking of Christ and the coming of Jesus. But Daniel began to fast and pray for 21 days, and it was for him to intercede for the nation. And his prayers and his fasting and confessing the sin of the nation and repenting for the sin of the nation, it altered the destiny of the nation. He actually broke something in the spirit to actually shift things and bring about the promises of God. And so we're gonna do some activations today. Last week, we went over specific things in the scriptures that we felt the Lord was highlighting for this region, for the church, for ourselves, and just say, Lord, we want to confess and repent and renounce these things so that anything that's hindering your will being done in the earth and in the church and through the church would be removed so that heaven comes and so that the body is assembled and built up. And so one of the things that the Lord highlighted to us was the scattering of people, of believers, the scattering of sheep. And there was a prophetic word that Prophet Cindy Jacobs gave Apostle Tom and Katie that the Lord gave them a gathering anointing. And she prophesied that there would be another church, but like this is like 2 years ago, that we would plant, which we're planting a church in Tacoma, if anyone is new and didn't catch that. We're going to be launching Easter. We have the building in Tacoma on 6th Ave, so that's exciting. And so we're praying into that. We're praying into this year, and so that word of gathering. And one of the things that Cindy Jacobs said was that in the Northwest, there's been a great scattering. There's a scattering of believers. And I can attest to experiencing and seeing that, where it's like this wandering thing. People that, especially the people that are hungry for God. It's kind of interesting. The religious people are content to go to their church and just go to a dead church. Bless them, not to speak against the church. But, you know, there's dead churches. But then the people that are hungry for God seem to be the ones that have no home. And the people that are pursuing the Lord seem to be the ones that wander to and fro. And that is not what the scriptures say the family of God is to look like. So Lord, why is there a scattering? Why have the believers in the Northwest, why does the church seem to be scattered? Because in the scriptures, when the people of God are scattered, it's actually like living under the curse. And so we're going to look at some scriptures today to just go over that. And then there's some specific things where we're just going to take our role. You know, the Bible says that we're kings and priests. How many of you know you are a royal priesthood? So priests, they represent the people to God, and they represent God to the people. And that's actually why we're the image of God. We're to be the expression of God to creation so that God can be made known through his sons and daughters. How can an invisible God be made known unless he makes an image of himself to be known? You're the image and likeness of God, and so you're a royal priesthood. And so in the same way that the priests of Israel represented God to the people of Israel, God says, now all of my people are going to be priests to the earth. And so you're to represent me to the world, but you're also to represent the world to me. And so what that means is you make intercession. You stand in the gap. You pray and confess on behalf of others for his will to be done in their lives. You know that you can confess other people's sin for them as a way of intercession? You're a priest. And we have a sacrifice where we don't have to make sacrifices now as far as blood sacrifices. We have a sacrifice. It's the blood of Christ. And so we can confess and repent on behalf of ourselves, our families, especially to the men in the room. You're the priest of your home. So if things are in your home, you stand in the gap and say, Lord, it ought not be in my home. It ought to be in my home as it is in your home. So the things that are in my home that don't look like your home, Father, I need the blood. What's giving this access? I want to apply the blood. Let my home look like your home. Amen? So we're to make intercession. So let's look at some scriptures real quick. And we'll go through this. And then we're going to do activation. We're going to pray. We're going to repent. We're going to confess on behalf of this region. Amen? So Deuteronomy chapter 30. We should have this on the screen. We're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1 through 4. There we go. Okay. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. So what this lays out is when the people of God disobey God, what happens is there's this, it's like the wages of sin is death. It has an adverse effect upon creation and his people, and it causes them to scatter rather than be assembled, right? The church is to be built up and assembled as one tight-knit family. And God has a dream for his church. God has a desire for his church, for his people. There are promises yet to be fulfilled in your life. Sometimes we can think about the promises of God as like, yeah, when I get to heaven. And it's like, no, he has promises that he intends to be manifested in our lives, but a lot of his promises are contingent on something. And it's returning to him, obeying his voice, walking in his ways, right? So he says there's going to be a scattering when you disobey me, but I'm going to gather you. That's his promise. I'm going to regather you, and I'm going to bring you together. So we see this played out throughout Israel's history. We know that after the kings are established, the nation just goes down, spiral downroll, and then Babylon comes, and they're taken away. So in Jeremiah, there's a promise given. And Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because he is a prophet right in the time of Israel's exile. So as Israel, literally, he's prophesying from right before the king of Babylon comes and then goes into exile with Israel. And he's called the weeping prophet because he's weeping for the sins of his nation. I'm asking God to give me the gift of tears, because tears are intercession. And sometimes tears are more powerful prayers than words. And so we need to be a people that are willing to intercede. Amen? Jeremiah chapter 32, starting in verse 37, the Lord says, this is so cool because God's, even while Israel's being taken away, he's giving them a promise. It's like, this is not the final destination. I have a destiny and a purpose for you. So he says, behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury and in great wrath. I will bring them back to this place and cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and their children after them. Remember we read that in Deuteronomy 30? He said, you and your children. I just thought that was a good connection because we talked about houses earlier. So that's for somebody. For the good of you and for your children. And I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing them good. Somebody say hallelujah. But I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Meaning the fear of the Lord will cause you to abide. How many of you want to abide in Christ? He says, yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good. I feel like that's how God feels about planting the church. He's excited to do good. Amen. And he says, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. You see, when we're scattered, we're not planted. And in order to bear fruit worthy of the gospel, in order to bring fruit to maturity, we need to be planted. We need to be gathered. And the church needs to be gathered. And that ought to be a burden for us as a people. Is the church is supposed to be unified. There's not supposed to be division. There's not supposed to be offenses. There's not supposed to be this group and that group. It says there's one body, one spirit, one father, one church, right? Come on, somebody. Am I the only one excited about this? No. So let's look real quick at the book of Daniel. If I can find it. I just want to look at two verses because now Daniel, this is coming to the end of Israel's exile. They've been slaves and captive and scattered. And Daniel, this is just so cool because this is where Daniel, he's fasting and praying for 21 days. And he makes intercession and he shifts the destiny of the nation. If one man can shift the destiny of a nation, there's like 200 of you in this room and we're praying for a region. Come on. There's real powers and principalities in the Northwest, but we know someone who's the head of all principality and power. And he said that through his ecclesia, he would make known the wisdom of God to the powers and principalities. He would actually defy them through his church. And the devil has said, no, the Northwest is mine. And I believe Jesus says, no, it's not. And what wolves and demons and different things have done to scatter his people, he's gonna say, he's gonna thwart the enemy's purposes. It says in Job 42 that there's no plan of the enemy that can thwart the purposes of God. And he has a dream and a destiny for the church in the Northwest. And he's like, watch what I'm gonna do when I put my power on display and I defy the gods of Egypt and destroy the greatest empire in the world in 10 days. What can God do if we would just believe? We would stand in the gap. It says in Ezekiel 22:30, the Lord said, I looked for a man. My eyes are searching to and fro throughout the earth, seeing if there would be a man that would stand in the gap. Just one. Well, we have an army of people that have been fasting and praying for now 14 days. So finish your race. You got 7 days. Don't give up. So Daniel 9, I got to go really quick. Okay. Verse 2, it says, in the year of his reign, referring to King Darius, in the year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books, meaning the scriptures. He was looking through the scriptures and he says, I understood by the books that the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So he goes on, he says, I was looking through the book of Jeremiah, saw that there were 70 years of this desolation, realized we're at the 70th year. So I'm like, wait a second. You said after 70 years, you would restore. And then he begins to pray. He doesn't just go, oh, God said he's going to restore. Cool, this is going to be a good year. There's promises over the year of 2024, but we need to pray. We need to pray for them. He needs a witness in the earth so that his word that's established in heaven will be established on earth. Thank you, Jared. Jared's like, I taught an intercession a month ago. That's right. That's what I said. Daniel 9, verse 13. So he says, as it is written in the law of Moses, he's already started praying. So I would encourage you to go read Daniel 9. But he says, as it's written in the law of Moses, we read it, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer. This is what he tells God. God, all the disaster that you told us would happen if we disobeyed you, right? Dad says, don't touch the stove when it's hot. We touch it anyways. Ah, you got to go to Dad. Well, he's like, all this has come upon us. And he says, yet we have not made our prayers before God. So he's repenting for Israel's prayerlessness. And he says, we haven't made our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. So he goes on and he just go and read Daniel 9. It's powerful. But so we're going to do that for this region and for the scattering of believers and for God to build his church, because he said he'd build it, right? But we need to agree with him and say, yes, Lord, do it. And so there's been a scattering in the Northwest, and we want to see God gather the church and raise up an army. And so, amen. So last week, Pastor Jared led us through different things to repent for and confess. And we really felt the Lord lead us to Israel's journey in the wilderness, because it says that their bodies, Israel, when they left Egypt, they went into the wilderness, and it says their bodies were scattered in the wilderness because they disobeyed. So they didn't enter into the promise. The dream that God had for Israel and for that generation wasn't fulfilled because of their disobedience. So their bodies were scattered, it says. But we don't want a scattering, we want a gathering. So we're gonna go through some specific things that Israel failed in. Because listen, it says in 1 Corinthians 10, this is New Testament, this is the Apostle Paul, the champion of grace, saying, hey, the things that Israel failed in, they were written down as a warning for you, lest you should fail in the same way they did. So we can just be like, oh, that's Old Testament. Paul's like, nah, that's for you. Don't fail the same way they did. So Exodus 17, verse 7. You ready to put on your priestly garments? Would you all stand up? Exodus 17, verse 7. It says, he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord. So Paul says this is one of the failures of Israel in 1 Corinthians 10. It was that they tested God. Now, here's what Jesus quotes this, right? When the devil is tempting him, he says, no, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord, right? Yeah. So Jesus himself is like, no, sin is still sin. What Israel did in the wilderness, which was sin, is still sin. Don't tempt the Lord. But here's what's interesting. Right here, it tells us how they did it, okay? It says, because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? They questioned his faithfulness. They questioned if he was with them. Now, how many of you know Jesus is Emmanuel? He is God with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? But we have to stand in faith and trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And if we question Him, it's like saying, I just don't know if you're really God. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've done that, and every one of you has. And if you say you haven't, you're lying to me. So let's confess and repent for ourselves, for the church, and for this region. Because I want to say this. John Tetzola said, he gave one of the best definitions of what believing is that I've ever heard. And he said, to believe is to accept truth as truth, even when there's no demonstrable evidence for that truth to be true. And so we could look at the church in the Northwest and see the scattering of believers and think, well, maybe God just isn't trying to do a work there. Right? But I promise you this. God has His eyes on this region as much as He has His eyes on the nation of Israel. God has His eyes on the Northwest and in a desire to raise up a kingdom family that look just like His son Jesus as much as He does anywhere else in the world. China, Africa, anywhere. He has set His will and set His face and set His gaze to bring about His purpose in this region. And God is with us, and God is for us, and He is on that. So, lift up your hands. Say, Heavenly Father, we want to repent for our unbelief in Your faithfulness, in your presence with us, in Your being for us. Forgive us, Lord. For tempting You by questioning if You are with us. Forgive us, Lord, for looking at what we can see instead of looking beyond to the unseen. And Lord, we ask for the blood of Jesus to wipe away every sin, transgression, and iniquity of tempting the Lord in our lives, in our house, in our families, and in the church in this region, in the Northwest, God, and for all of the believers that have been scattered, Lord. Every sheep that has gone astray, every sheep that has gotten lost on their journey that's been scattered in the wilderness. Father, we say, let the blood of Jesus speak for them and cover them for every sin of tempting the Lord. And Father, we pray that You would gather Your people, restore them, and make Your face shine upon them. In the name of Jesus. Okay, the next one, Exodus 32. It's the sin of idolatry, which I love that we're fasting and praying and doing first fruits because we're putting God first. We're giving Him His proper place. And when an idolatry is letting anything else matter more than what matters most, which is the rule and reign of Yahweh in your life. So Exodus 32 verse 1, it says, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come and make us gods that will go before us. For we do not know what has become of this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt. You know, Peter said that the same thing would happen regarding the return of Christ. That in the last days, mockers would come saying, where's the promise of His coming? This Jesus that has gone up the mountain of God, where's the promise of His coming? And so let's just repent right now. Say, Heavenly Father, we make intercession for Your people, for the scattered believers, for this region, and for ourselves, for questioning your coming, for mocking and scoffing at your promises, and turning our eyes and our affections to other things and lesser lovers. Lord, you said that you would circumcise our hearts and the hearts of our children to love you, that we may live and be planted and to not depart from you. So Lord, we ask for mercy for all idolatry, for everything that we have allowed to matter more than you, and for putting our trust in other things, for putting our trust in money or in our jobs. Lord, you are the provider. And we repent, Lord. All right, Numbers 25. I feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. My throat is so dry. Yes. Wow, that felt way better. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Okay, Numbers 25. This is an interesting passage because right before this, the king of Moab hired Balaam to curse Israel. How many of you know this? And it says that he couldn't curse him. And every time he would stand up to curse, the Spirit of God would come upon him and speak through him and bless. I love that. Holy Spirit's a great defender. And so he put blessings in the mouth of the one who would curse. And then he told Balak, he said, look, you can't curse what God has blessed. If the blessing of the Lord is on something, you can't curse it. So the enemy, trying to attack and tear down the people of Israel, realizes, wait a minute, they have a shield about them. I can't get access. So he has schemes and devices, and he's clever. So what Balak does is he's like, all right, let's send our women to go and seduce their men, get them to commit adultery and commit immorality, and then in that way we'll get access. And what happens is destruction comes upon Israel. So, you know, enemy can try to curse you, and if one tactic doesn't work, he'll try to find another one. And one of the ones, just a very obvious one, is it's sexual immorality. There's one, a prevalent amount of that in this region. Trafficking, all kinds of stuff, wicked stuff. Stuff that ought not be spoken of. But, so we want to make intercession for the region, for the church, for the scattered believers, and for ourselves. Jesus said, if you even look lustfully, then you've already committed adultery in your heart. So for anyone, it's just like, hey, continually repent. Anything that, if anything, just repent. Say, Lord, forgive us. Forgive me. Forgive us, Lord. Wash us in the blood of Jesus. Let there be no such thing in our midst. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:18, he said, flee from sexual immorality. He didn't say, this is important. He didn't say resist it. You resist the devil, but you don't resist sin. You run. Run. You have to remember you are weak. Don't try to face up to something like that. You run and you hide yourself in the cleft of the rock of ages. Amen? Okay. So God told Israel, he said, don't intermarry with the other nations' wives or daughters, and it'll be a snare to you. And that's what happened. So raise your hands. Amen. Heavenly Father, we repent for ourselves, for your church, for the scattered believers, and Lord, for this whole region. We make intercession now for all sexual immorality. We ask for mercy, for adultery, for fornication, for all types of perversions, pornography, human trafficking. Lord, we ask for the blood of Jesus to speak for this region. Have mercy, O Lord. Have mercy, O Lord. We repent on behalf of every person in your body, in the church, that is willfully engaged in things that are contrary to your nature. Let the blood speak and forgive us, Lord. And may the destruction of families cease. And may you gather and restore marriages and families and households in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name. Okay, lastly, Exodus 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse 23. It talks about the bitter waters. And so it says, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 18, it says, so that there may not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Is it up there already? No. Hebrews 12, verse 15. Is it up there? Okay. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. So lift your hands again. Say, Heavenly Father, we repent for allowing every seed of offense, resentment, unforgiveness to grow a root of bitterness. Forgive us, Lord. We repent and we speak mercy over all of those who are holding other people captive in their hearts. For the scattered believers that have been trapped by the snare of Satan, which is offense and bitterness. Father, we plead the blood and we ask for grace, for mercy to flow from the hearts of your people, that all bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, offense would be uprooted and removed from your people, that you would heal hearts and gather the saints. And Father, for every time we ourselves have been the source of offense for others that has produced bitterness in others, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, if we have been an offense to your children, to our brothers and sisters. Lord, we repent for the church, for not forgiving one another and fighting for the unity of the Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for watching. I hope you are blessed and encouraged. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram and subscribe to our YouTube channel for more amazing content.
Thank you.